Pavlos, welcome to the Gauntlet of Truth. What are your thoughts on, you know, a governor, in this case, Governor Grisham, Michelle Grisham, saying, dictating to 2 million people, you will wear a mask?
Well, first of all, Jeffrey, thank you for letting me be on the Gauntlet of Truth. It's always great to be on your show and to be on KKOB, you know, great content, and you guys kind of tell it the way it is. So, you know, wearing a mask.
I ask hard questions.
Man. I know. You ask hard questions.
And they're not easy answers.
No, they're not easy answers. But I will tell you, I was in Spain with my family in March in the middle of the pandemic as it started over there. And they had basically martial law. And we don't have martial law in this country. And so each state, you know, according to Washington, because we're a federal, you know, federal republic, decides what we do. So here in New Mexico, we may have more stringent rules than Texas. So my answer to you is, Jeffrey, if we have more stringent rules, like we want you to wear a face mask, you know, we're maybe going to scare off some of our tourist business. So my thing is, from an economic standpoint, if the face coverings don't work, like you said, and it's a bandana and it's just for cosmetic purposes, and it basically scares off tourism, people will go to Texas. They'll go to Florida. They'll go to other states and do their business, and we'll lose out on that business. So yeah. I guess that's, is that your answer? If it's,
the psychology of wearing a face covering, because I don't use the word mask because people aren't ubiquitously wearing fitted masks at a N95 level. Okay, they're just not.
Right. Nurses and healthcare professionals, they definitely need
of course,
you know, that high level of protection because they are right in the thick of things. They're right on the front lines. But you know, like you said, you know what we are talking about, bandanas and those type of things.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor. All I'm saying is I don't know that a bandana actually functions to protect propagating of COVID to other people. Maybe it does. I don't know. But if that's one question, the functionality is, you know, part of the question. The other part is just governors having that much authority to micromanage behavior is pretty astounding. Designating arbitrarily what a non-essential business is and what an essential business is, designating how many folks can go worship God in a church at some level, it's almost arbitrary, 25%. First it was 10%. Again, I'm not saying she's an evil, malicious person. I'm sure her intentions are fine. But where's the actual empirically evidentiary science-based strategy behind some of these decisions? That's all. And maybe there is no definitive answer along those lines. Through April through, I guess, May 15th, according to the Restaurant Association, more than 220 restaurants in this state alone have closed permanently. Now, think about that. Think about the implications for not just folks not being able to enjoy their favorite enchilada, whatever the hell it is, in Eunice, New Mexico, or Albuquerque, New Mexico, but you're talking about these people have been displaced with their jobs. Those owners who invested maybe, you know, 10 years, 20 years into building their brand, done. All the people that support the restaurant, like
especially
the
women. This has affected women more than men because 55% of women have been affected more adversely to this, you know, basically the coronavirus situation we have now because women make the majority of the hospitality industry, especially here in New Mexico, you know, wait staff, childcare, even in hotels. And so women have been affected more adversely than men.
Well, there's 35 million people that we know of that have filed for unemployment. So you're talking about 16% unemployment. These are numbers that we haven't seen since 1934, 33, the Great Depression.
They're talking about it going to 20%, Jeff. So,
yeah. And to remind our viewers, or listeners rather, in terms of just comparing apples to apples, we had 25% unemployment in 1934, I believe it is. Right now we're at 18-19% unemployment, but the difference is also we have 330 million people. Back then, I think we only had about 1 million people in the country.
Right.
So when you talk about extrapolating numbers into those percentages of growth population.
And the Federal Reserve and Washington has built this rickety bridge so we can get over this mini depression that we've been put into, which has basically been self-inflicted. So keep in mind to all of our listeners out this depression that we're in has been self-inflicted more importantly, to protect the public. We've had, 88,000 deaths.
Yeah, we toggled off the economy, right?
Right. Well, you feel for the families that have lost those people, and of course, 1.4 million cases of coronavirus here in the United States. But also, we have to look at the economic side of things, Jeffrey. There's got to be a balance. Yes, and you know, from your background, I'm sure I'm Greek heritage. We came from countries, our ancestors that had, dictatorial countries, whether it's Mussolini or juntas in Greece or whatever, and we came to this country for our freedom. So definitely I feel the same way.
But, Angelo also reminds us the original strategy, at least at the national level, was containing COVID, right? Kind of containing it, not overwhelming our healthcare system. Now it seems to be some of the governors, and I thought I heard Governor Grisham here say, I thought I heard her say on the 13th of May during her little press conference, I thought I heard her say, we will be shut down in your homes until there's a vaccine. Did I hear her say that?
That's what I heard.
So if that's what she said, then we have shifted from containment to the complete eradication of COVID-19.
The question is now, Jeffrey, do we have to take the vaccine? Okay. Are you going to be forced to take the vaccine? That's a whole different
discussion. Entirely different ball of wax. And according to Jacobson versus Massachusetts, there's a precedent that says you can. Elizabeth, Rebecca, Wayne, stay on the line. My guest, Pavlos Panagopoulos, Jeffrey Candelaria, The Gauntlet of Truth. All right, we have quite a few calls here. It's certainly an emotional issue when we've been told for the last 2 months to stay home, micromanaging certain behaviors, which I understand. I mean, we're in a pandemic. I mean, it's a serious issue, this thing called, COVID-19. At the same time, having said, having been dictated to that we, in this case, the 2 million New Mexicans, some of us have businesses deemed non-essential. We have to stay at home, all that. The economic upheaval, the impact economically is extraordinary.
Yes,
and before I go to these calls, I want you to chime in on the fact that oil and gas is 30% of New Mexico's economy. No people aren't paying gross receipts tax. The convention and tourism business, which is an extraordinarily important part of our economy in New Mexico, that's nowhere. And that's all a function of arbitrarily turning off the economy, which I understand we had to do, but it has implications as well, right?
And Memorial Day is right around the corner, and we're a tourist state. We rely on tourism. And I know that there's, we all want to protect lives, but there's got to be a balance between saving lives and protecting our livelihoods, right, Jeff? I mean, it just cannot be just one-sided. And with the oil industry, our budget is pretty much blown. And we rely on gross receipts. States like Texas, which had already opened up, and Florida have no gross receipts, Jeff. And they're financially rock solid. It's the states that have the gross receipts and rely heavily on those gross receipts. And, we were relying heavily on the oil industry. And, of course, we have our permanent fund. I just have our listeners out there. Would you run your household without having a contingency plan? It seems like we don't have a contingency plan here in New Mexico.
Yeah, and I don't want to be positioned as, because I want businesses to open up responsibly, I don't want to be positioned as what I hear some of these liberal folks say, when you go outside, or when you're not wearing a mask, you're killing people, or you're basically a slave to capitalism because I want the restaurant industry to reopen.
So if you're a slave to capitalism and you don't want to be a slave to capitalism, what would be a slave of? Okay, something else, socialism or communism. I don't think that people really think about, when they talk about capitalism as evil.
All right, I'm going to go to these calls here. But just remember, all these people that are telling us what to do and micromanaging our lives, President Trump, Governor Grisham, Fauci, Secretary of Health, all the bureaucrats, they're all getting paid. They have not had any economic interruption in their lives. So when you hear we're all in this together, no, we're not. All the bureaucrats and authorities are all getting paid. So the next time you hear Fauci, Trump, Grisham, any governor, any talking head, even all the people in the media, they're all getting paid, while some of us have been economically dismantled. Well, that's a dictatorship. I mean, it's China is it's a communist country. Their form of governance is by definition much more dictatorial than what I checked last time is this thing called a republic, right?
Right.
That's why we, this 300 million population called America, you know, we've actually behaved pretty well, don't you think, overall?
I think we've done well. And even if, you know, a lot of people don't know that in China, they use this as an excuse to round up dissidents.
Of course.
And if you had coronavirus, all they needed to do was lock you in your house and chain the door, because, you know, here in this country, we would not put up for that.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's a totally different, you know, business, basically different political system there in China.
Yeah, I don't think, no offense to Elizabeth, but last I checked, there are no inalienable rights in China.
No.
Based on a constitution.
You just disappear, right, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's hope it doesn't come down to that. Let's hope it doesn't come down to that. I know that a lot of people, you know, hear what's going on, but, you know, this is, you basically have freedom of speech, and that's why you're speaking now, and you're letting people on the radio know what you're thinking. But personally, I don't think that's going to come down to that. I don't think the American people would put up with that.
But, you know, stay there. You know, Rebecca has an interesting, or Wayne, is it? It's Rebecca, right? Sorry about that. Rebecca.
Yes.
So, Rebecca, I want to ask you this. There was an interesting article that was put forth by an economist who's an economist and a quasi-sociologist. He said a couple of weeks ago that a year into the future, if there is a vaccine that apparently does have some effect against COVID-19, the next question is going to be, does our government have the ability to constitutionally mandate that 330 million Americans must be vaccinated? I thought that was a fascinating thought, because remember, I think it was in 1908, there was a precedent set in Massachusetts where Jacobson versus Massachusetts, as I recall my history, where Massachusetts, a commonwealth, said every person in Massachusetts at that time will be vaccinated against a particular virus. I think that's an interesting thought, too, don't you think, as well, Rebecca? Will the government make us be vaccinated?
Here's the thing I was thinking about. You noticed yesterday when Donald Trump was talking, he said, well, the vaccine will be available if you want it. But think about this. It's like we're seeing this all around the country right now, where these individual governors are just blatantly violating the Constitution of the United States like it doesn't apply to them. So, yeah, the federal government may not impose these sort of tyrannical things on you, but we've seen now from experience that the state governors might very well do that, and what's the federal government going to do about it? So far, they're not doing much of anything about the way that some of these governors are trampling all over our constitutional rights.
Yeah.
And that got me a bit concerned.
Very good. Thank you for the input. I appreciate that. You know, the other thing that Rebecca brings up that's interesting is I think there's going to be, in public situations, folks that aren't going to wear a mask in a public, you know, situation, they're going to be shamed or called out, and in some cases violently, and I think that's going to cause a lot of unrest. If you're not wearing a mask or I'm not wearing a mask in public, folks are going to point me out. I'm going to get pissed off because that's my nature and probably, you know, rebel. But maybe the weaker folk will have to, you know, maybe acquiesce to, unfortunately, folks shaming them. Don't you see that possibly happening? Hey, you're not wearing a mask.
Definitely. We got back from Spain, and my daughter wore a mask to the grocery store, and somebody shamed her for wearing a mask. And now things have flipped.
Yeah.
And people, you know, so again, I think the discourse is not healthy for our society.
No. Wayne, you're on News Radio, KQOB.
But also, our governor has not looked at people's situations.
Expand on that.
Well, I'm a disabled veteran, 31 years active military service. I fought 3 cancers due to Agent Orange in Vietnam, and I still got PTSD. Does anyone want me to wear a mask?
Okay, though you can't cussing there. Thanks for serving.
Thank you, Wayne, for your service.
Yeah, I'm authority make. I'm not. I'm not suggesting they're not, but all I'm suggesting is when we say wear a mask, be more specific when we're talking that language.
Right. And if you come into my business and you're required to wear a mask, Jeff, and I invite you in my business and I tell you beforehand you need to wear a mask, you will wear a mask.
Well, yeah.
And so will I.
Or don't solicit, or don't go to that business. Don't go to that business.
Right. I got that.
All right, folks. I have Pavlos Panagopoulos with Sotera Advisory with me in studio. I'm Jeffrey Candelaria. And Santiago, Ben, and Stan, the line. The other question is, if you're a churchgoer, a worshiper of God, who dictates who's the 25% that gets to heaven and who gets to get into church and who doesn't? Give us a call, 243-3333. This is Where New Mexico Comes to Talk on The Gauntlet of Truth with Jeffrey Candelaria. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, Pavlos, I'm not here to be everybody's friend. I'm here to make a difference. And information, content, wisdom, enlightenment, even being corrected, whatever. If we can get to this thing called truth and be honest about it and not be hypocrites about it, I think that serves our community well. So, for example, Governor Grisham, she's a political animal. Whatever, just accept that she is. So part of her decision-making is based on her political aggrandizement. So why not just admit it out loud instead of just all this hypocrisy around? Her motivations are based on, I think, keeping us safe. I think she has at one time a strategy of containment of COVID.
And she did a good job with that.
But
so
she's
far in the beginning.
Also a political animal with political motivations.
Right. So let me give you a hint there. You know, Santa Fe is a political place, Jeffrey.
You're kidding.
And so is Washington, D.C. And for all our listeners out there, this is a nonpartisan. Corruption is nonpartisan. Take a look at some of the senators there in Washington who were selling their stocks, Jeffrey, before the pandemic. They knew there was going to be a major downturn. They sold their hotel stocks. They sold their hospitality stocks right before it. And it was both Democrats and Republicans, Jeff. So, you know, here's a...
No, I'm not saying that the Democrats have a monopoly on corruption. I'm a Republican, but half the damn Republicans I know are just as corrupt as the others. I'm not suggesting that at all. All I'm saying is you're a Greek guy, right? Your guy, Aristotle, 1,400 years ago, said every man is a political animal. So it's just a matter of what degree is that political animal motivation expressing itself with each of us. But all these people that are authorities that are making decisions, they're making them through a political agenda or a political prism as well.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Machiavelli, you remember Machiavelli, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. So, you know, for those of you who haven't studied up on Machiavelli, this is a great...
It's called The Prince, okay? His exactly. book, The Prince.
Book, The Prince.
And when you hear the word high mock, that's a highly manipulative person.
Right, or even Rahm Emanuel. Don't let a good crisis go to waste.
Yeah. All right. Santiago, which I believe means James in Spanish, you're on News Radio.
Yeah.
Hey, Santiago.
That's correct. Well, you know, I went to the store this morning wearing my mask, so to speak, and the lady behind the glass thing there, plastic, whatever, she says, "I can't understand you." And I told her, I said, "Well, I'm telling you as clearly as I can speak what I need and what I want, what I'm asking." And I says, "Well, I can't understand you either." Anyway, she had to pull up her mask to let me know what she wanted to say, and I had to pull up my mask.
Of course.
So what's the point, you know?
No, I understand.
We're both there within, you know, 2 feet of each other, and if she sprayed me with saliva or sneezed or whatever, vice versa, I mean, what's the point? And also, I think that our jewelry queen of New Mexico is, like you said, she has her priorities and she has her political beliefs and thoughts, and she's a little drunk with power, I believe.
You know, it's interesting. Santiago brings up a good point. Governors around our country, I would say, I don't like to use the word never because never is a long time, but I'll use it in this context. They have never had this much power concentrated in such a way that they can express that much authority around their populations. Think about the governor of a state like California. He said the other day, by the way, did you notice his haircut? Well, my hair's all, you know, shaggy over here, even though I'm a good-looking guy. I need a haircut. Anyway, that governor the other day said to, what is the population in California, 40 million? 40 million people. He has the power to say, we're going to stay shut down for another 3 months. Think about the power.
I think it's like the fifth largest economy in the world. I mean, that's mind-boggling.
So now you have,
even a guy like Elon Musk is saying, I'm leaving the state. I want to go elsewhere.
But Santiago makes a good point. The concentration of power by these governors to command people's behavior in the millions over their, you know, particular states is unprecedented.
Absolute power. You heard that, right?
And
absolute
when you
power.
Taste that much power,
absolute
it's
power.
Difficult to acquiesce. What is your... you have to read some kind of a caveat there?
I just want to say that if any of our listeners would like to reach us at Satirivisor Networks, you reach us at 828-4068 or go to our website, myfinancialsense.com. I've been on with Jeffrey Candelaria a couple of times this year. You can check out our latest radio shows and get our take on the markets and what our philosophy is. We're located here in Albuquerque on Louisiana and Manal, as well as in Belen on Rankin. We'd love to hear from any of our listeners, any questions you have. So,
give us a call, folks. We are live in studio, 243-3330. Did I hear the governor the other day, and I'm not asking a rhetorical question, I'm asking a sincere question here. I thought I heard her say, we will stay shut down till there's a vaccine. And if that's the case, now we've shifted from containment to the eradication. And if a vaccine doesn't manifest for another year or 2 years, whatever the hell it is, did she say then that we're going to be locked in our homes for another year until a vaccine is provided? Did you hear that?
That was my take on it, that, you know, we'd have to wait till the vaccine came about before we go back to our regular lives.
Well, if you heard that and if that was her intent, I'd like more elucidation on that topic at 243-3333. The other question at hand is, how do you feel and what do you think about having been dictated to that we must wear a face covering? How do you think that's going to work out? And I'm surmising that when folks aren't wearing a face mask in public situations, those persons will be called out, and some may even call them out violently. And I'm not suggesting that happens. Obviously, I don't want that to happen, but I believe people. Well, no, but all I'm saying is
discourse.
I think folks not wearing are going to be shamed. Why aren't you wearing a mask, or, you know, that type of thing? And that's scary as well, because some people will defy, because how can you police, not a person not wearing a face covering? Anthony, you're on News Radio KKOB.
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it so much. I'll just get right into it. With this whole new order by Grisham, I just wanted to
go ahead.
Okay, I was just saying. So this new order landed me losing my job and supporting my two kids, because all I did yesterday was ask questions on how today was going to be, and I got fired for insubordination.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's
sorry about that, Anthony.
That's just awful. And that's the thing, you know, the aspect of our republic that we all celebrated, and you Greek guys kind of invented through Socrates, the capacity to ask questions, because that's what Socratean philosophy was all about. Ask questions, challenge people, because
Socratic discussion.
No one has all the definitive, you know, panacea answers to all things. And as we continue to ask questions, we're honing down the knife, we're sharpening the intellectual blade and bringing more wisdom to each other.
And this isn't China, right?
Right.
Okay. I make sure that it's not China.
But if Anthony can't even question why we have to wear a face mask out loud in this place called a republic, that's the deterioration of the very thing that I think our founders, particularly people like Jefferson and Madison, who are really about individual rights and states' rights.
Or my relatives who came from a country that didn't have democracy and wanted to come to America, which, you know, a lot of people from all over the world come to
America. What's our time frame like, Eric? What do we got here? All right, so we're going to have to. All right, Ross, John, stay on the line. We've been asking some pretty strident questions about the new normalcy this week versus last week. We have to wear face coverings. We understand in the interest of health and all of that. But how do you feel about that? How do you feel about our individual behaviors being micromanaged to that extent? Who would have thought that would have happened 3 months ago, right, Pavlos?
No. Again, Rahm Emanuel. I keep quoting him. You know, don't let a good crisis go to waste. I mean, this is... you know, definitely one of the situations, whether it's financial, because a lot of people have seen their investments go down, or it's their jobs are at stake, or their health is at stake. A lot of tenuous things going on, and
mental
people
health.
Under a lot of pressure. Yes.
Yeah. All right, folks, Jeffrey Candelaria, stay tuned. We'll be back in about 6 minutes. News Radio, KKOB.
Never convenient. You are now going through the gauntlet of truth with Jeffrey Candelaria on 96.3 News Radio KKOB.
All right, thanks for tuning into the gauntlet of truth. Jeffrey Candelaria here. There is no truth, only interpretations of what your perceptions of truth are. At any rate, did I just hear earlier Pavlos, my guest Pavlos Panagopoulos? That liquor stores are open, but educational systems are closed in New Mexico.
And pot stores, too. So if you want to get some pot, you
all right. You know. There you go, folks. Let's continue to talk a little bit about the overarching question at hand. How do you feel and what do you think about wearing face coverings, not masks, because not everyone is fitted with no leakage to a denominator of functionality at least a N95 level? Some folks are wearing bandanas. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. But the question is, how do you feel about that? Governors throughout the country are having experiencing new heights of authority, commanding and micromanaging behavior. In some cases, like in California, 30 million folks are being told you must be shut down for another 3 months. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, now that the liquor store is open, they're drunk on power.
All right, John, you're on News Radio KKOB. John, you're on the
air. Hey, John.
Hello, yes. Listen, to my knowledge, I haven't heard Grisham say anything about the dangers from open borders, sanctuary city policies, the diseases and viruses that can be brought by people from other countries. I'll take your response over the air. Thank you.
No, I agree. I think we should have... you know, a border. Without borders, you don't have a country. And I do think we should take care of our own population right now first. I don't apologize for saying, last I checked, there's 330 citizens called citizens in this thing called a republic. Why not take care of our folk first and then be concerned about other populations next? And I always come down to the basic fundamental precept that is, when you're 30,000 foot above sea level and there's a plane that's crashing, what do the authorities on the plane tell you to do? Put your mask on first, then your kid next to you. Exactly. Let's take care
of it. And we're not the only country, John, that does that. I mean, I was in Spain and we had a trip to Morocco. And guess what, Jeffrey? When they had the coronavirus in Spain, Morocco shut their borders down.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody said, gosh, that's a terrible thing to do. That's just common sense.
Even Jesus and this guy named Siddhartha Gautama said, the poor will always be with you. Meaning, even God or this thing called the philosophy of Buddha couldn't cure all folk. We can only do so much. On the Gauntlet of Truth, Russ, you're on News Radio.
Yes.
KKOB.
Jeffrey, listen, I'm so upset I don't know how to talk yet, but this is what I want to say. If they don't get their stuff together in D.C. pretty soon. I've been patient for so many years of trying to straighten out the mess that they make and don't clean up, that I'm threatening to warn them that I know people are going to be revolting and coming and pulling them out of their seats if they don't straighten it out. We're so far from what is in the Constitution, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. But, you know, Russ, the problem is most folks aren't that well-versed on our constitutional rights. Most folks don't even know the difference between a republic and a democracy. Most folks don't even know, for example, how a bill gets passed in Congress. So we can't fight for or defend our constitutional rights if we, the people, aren't well-versed on civics and have the conviction and the leadership and the courage to defend it. That's why
in the schools, Jeffrey, don't teach history the way, you know, we were taught history. And again, you know, those who don't learn from history are doomed to, you know, repeat those same mistakes. And, you know, we see in the schools, you know, a lot of the discussion about World War II, you know, they talk about, you know, the massacre and people getting killed, but they don't talk about the, you know, genocide that Hitler did and what was happening in World War II. So, you know, I think a lot of discussion needs to be talked about in what's happening in this world and what's happening in Washington. So we the people need to basically stand up for our rights, and we are responsible for who is in Congress and who is in the Senate.
But we need to know what our Constitution affords us and provides in terms of individual rights.
And that's going to be taught in school.
I've had about 100 texts already, 100 people love me, 100 people hate me on my phone today because I've dared to ask the question, how do you feel about being micromanaged and told 2 million New Mexicans, you will wear a mask. You will wear a mask with no sense of what a mask is. What's the distinction between a mask and a face covering? What's the purpose of wearing a mask? I guess it's not to propagate COVID to other people. I guess. I'm not sure. But we should still have the ability to question it and fairly expect an unhypocritical, objective, empirically based answer. That's it. That's my question. And I am not going to succumb to that point. Period. Not going to happen. Mary, you're on News Radio.
Hey, Mary.
AOB.
Hey, Mary.
Mary.
Oh, okay. Hi. I have, first of all, let me say I'm a non-essential. And secondly, I did listen to the governor, and I was listening with two other people. And I was the only one that had my antenna lifted when she said that the stay-at-home was going to stay into place with the vaccine.
Yeah.
And the other thing that really bothered me that she said was photo after photo after photo is showing that people are not obeying the stay at home.
Yeah. So she did say, we will be shut down at home until there's a vaccine. That's astounding to me because...
Or we can take photos of each other, right? Like they did in New York. What is that, Mayor de Blasio? We can have some of that too, right?
You're talking about like the Gestapo effect, like
right.
In Germany when people were fingering each other out and you're a Jew and here's Anne Frank and all that. Let's hope we never get to that level of almost sociological debauchery. All right, Jeffrey Candelaria here. One more segment with Pavlos Panagopoulos. All right, one more segment with Pavlos Panagopoulos with Cetera Advisory, and we're going to go through some calls here. Pavlos, did you already read your disclaimer?
Do it at the end.
Or you'll do it at the end, okay. So we're continuing to talk about how each state has a different strategy to really combat COVID-19. What's unique about this whole thing, there isn't an overarching strategy across the country that is uniformly being, you know, implemented. And that's partly a function of density of population. I get all that. But
and we're a federal republic, too. So every state decides how they want to operate.
Thanks to Madison and Jefferson.
Right. And when I was in Spain, remember, I mentioned that. Again, that's a, you know, they had martial law. And so everything was shut down.
Yeah.
Immediately. All the country, whether you're in Sevilla or you're in Barcelona or Madrid, even though Madrid was the epicenter, like New York. Yeah. So New York is much different than Sevilla, but everything was locked down the same way. But
well, think about
Folgers it. Folgers in the street.
If you're in South, if you're in South Dakota versus New Mexico or California, that population feels a lot more liberated in South Dakota. And these are people within our own, you know, within, within the confines of our own country. All right, Jill, you are on News Radio, KKOB.
Oh, hi. Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say, with regard to masks, I really hope that we don't have to wear them for too long, because I think wearing a mask just stokes more fear in people.
Yeah.
You know, you can't see their facial expressions. It reminds everybody that we're all big germ, you know, germy people. And so it stokes a lot of fear. And I think there's been way too much fear that's been generated with this whole thing. And
I think I'm limited on time. Thanks, Jill. You know, she brings a good point. The American psyche has been terrorized with COVID because it is an unknown, invisible monster that is, you know, basically been responsible for a lot of folks dying. But she's right. And again, I'm not judging the governor. I mean, you have to do what you have to do, face coverings, masks. But what it does do at the same time, that's why it's the gauntlet of truth, it propagates fear, okay? It serves a function, but let's not deny that it's also propagating fear. I just wish our leaders would say these things out loud, non-judgmentally, and say, we admit it's going to propagate some fear, but we have to get over it and understand there's a functionality to it.
Yeah, and
I never hear leaders say any of that.
But it also affects the economy. We are a tourist state, Jeff, and so if we're all wearing masks and other states don't require masks, I mean, this is competition between our neighbors, and we're trying to get tourist dollars here to New Mexico.
I just wish our leaders would be honest with us. I just wish for one time. Trump's clumsy about it. He kind of does it, but he's so damn clumsy. But at least he tries to do it in a most articulate, egomaniacal way. At any rate, John, you're on News Radio, KKOB.
Hey, John.
Okay, so check it out. So once these unemployment benefits run out because we can't print our own money and the feds ain't going to give us any, I don't think people are going to be so lackadaisical about this whole epidemic thing.
That's a good point. You know, we're one of the few countries that, of course, all the countries are printing money. You know, a lot of talk about Sweden not doing the basically the social distancing, and they just use a herd mentality. But remember, Sweden is not part of the Europe. They're part of the European Union, but they're not part of the euro. And so both Europe, the United States, we can print money. And now our federal budget deficit is at $23 trillion. And where's all that money coming from? All the fiat currencies, you know, the dollar is the cleanest shirt in the laundry bin. Yes, we have the strongest currency, but every currency has fallen by terms of the gold. Right now we're seeing gold at 1,720. It's about 12% from its all-time high, the last recession, which was in 2008. And we've printed, you know, double what we had before. So George Bush Jr. doubled the budget deficit. Obama doubled the budget deficit. And now this Congress and this administration are going to double the budget deficit again as well.
But didn't you say, though, the last time we spoke that the devaluation of the dollar isn't happening relative to this COVID being a pandemic?
Right. We are the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry bin. Our dollar's not falling as much. But if you go to Costco or any of those stores, big box stores, it says on the front door, hey, our prices have gone up due to what's going on in this pandemic, okay? You know, that's called inflation. And if you go to stores and you get smaller packages, that's called shrinkflation. So everything is going up in price, and you see it at the stores. And again, there is a consequence to all this money printing. And now we have a bill in Congress where Congress wants to pass another $3 trillion budget. $3 trillion more stimulus, right?
Pelosi,
right?
Does.
And
she wants to give rights. And
my take on it for the listeners out there is it will pass. The Republicans and the Democrats will pass that $3 trillion, basically stimulus. That's the fourth round. So we're going to, of course, have
why
to
should we provide
that.
Benefits to illegal, illegally?
Well, they want to send a check.
I don't get that.
Right. Basically, what the Republicans
aren't we incentivizing people to come here illegally?
That's true, but we're also doing, you know, there's a talk from the Democrats that we need to help the little guy, but
oh, yeah.
a lot.
She wants their votes. Come on. Right. She doesn't have an altruistic bone in her body. And just, you know, admit it. And don't.
What did Rahm Emanuel say again? I keep repeating it. Don't let a good crisis go to waste, okay?
I just wish these people would just say out loud, I want their votes,
okay? We're Washington, D.C. We're here to help you.
God, she's so evil.
But you
Mark,
know, I will say one thing about ready. This budget.
Okay, hold on, Mark. Hold on, Mark.
Hold on, Mark.
Pavlos has a point
here. One more thing about this, you know, increasing the deficit by trillions of dollars. It is a rickety bridge to bridge this mini depression that was self-inflicted on us by Washington. Now, granted, it's probably a good thing that we did some social distancing. We flattened the curve, but the curve has been flattened. And now we need to get back to business. And again, all this money printing is going to have some adverse consequences. And if you don't believe me, just take a look at the price of gold. That's telling you right there, hey, something's going on. And yesterday, gold stocks hit a seven-year high. So there is going to be some...
All right, let me get to this call. Mark, you're on News Radio, KKOB.
Oh, hey, Jeff. Hey, Pavlos. Hey, Pavlos. Hey, I just want to say, you know, you're obviously... a descendant of a rich, rich heritage of Greek culture and intelligence. And thank you for your insight and all your financial aspects.
Thank you.
But I was wondering if you could possibly explain, and I wanted to do my homework before making this call. I didn't get a chance to, but explain maybe how there was a Greek collapse due to their social welfare system and how that it relates to... I guess the financial world and how Greece is handling this COVID pandemic.
Right. So they joined part of the European Union, and so of course they were not only fiscally tied to the European Union, they're monetarily tied. They got rid of the drachma, and Greece now uses the euro. And what they basically did is they gave them a blank check and built bridges to nowhere, and they built a big socialist society for all the Greek people. And recently they have a new president. His name is Mitsotakis, and he was from Crete, and he's their center-right new president of Greece. They had a socialist, Tsipras, before. And so they're moving more toward fiscal responsibility. But again, Greece is much different than the United States. They did martial law, and if you wanted to go to the grocery store or to the pharmacy, you had to text the government. The government sent you a text back, and then you could go to the grocery store, and it was a 150-euro fine if you were out in public. And so they had really a hard crackdown. But in their case, granted to them, they didn't have as many deaths percentage-wise or any problems. They're now opening up. Right. And if you want to get communion, which us Greeks, we take communion by a spoon, you can now get communion in Greece and Cyprus. So they're past that situation. But again, you know, there might still be a second wave. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate that. So, Pavlos, as we conclude, any thoughts on the other thing that's really fascinating about this whole strategy is Fauci has clearly influenced Trump and, you know, some of his overarching strategy about dealing with this, whatever. Fauci about 3 weeks ago said, I know nothing about economics. Think about what I just said. Here's a guy influencing a lot of our strategies. And again, he's a health guy. I get all that. But he said out loud, I know nothing, this is a quote, okay, about economics.
Or he could say, maybe I work for the government and I know nothing about economics. He should have added that.
But he's getting his paycheck. Remember, all these people telling us what to do are all getting their paychecks and have had no economic upheaval in their lives. Your contact information.
Yeah, so if anybody would like to reach us, that's the TerraVisor Networks. We've been in business for over 34 years. We have offices in Albuquerque and Belen. You reach us at 828-4068 or go to our website, myfinancialsense.com. And I also want to mention on May 27th, we're going to be hosting a webinar with Fidelity Funds. We're going to be talking about healthcare sector and also about the gold mining and gold sector. And again, if anybody would like to reach us, I want to mention Securities Investment Advisory Services are offered through SoteraVisor Networks. And SoteraVisor Networks is a member of the Securities Investors Protection Corporation. Jeff, have a great show and appreciate all you do for our community. And keep that gauntlet of truth. Keep slicing away.
Pavlos Panagopoulos on the gauntlet of truth.